Are you serious? And this is my show.
Side of the left, for there was a whole period when transcendence became anathema. It was transcendence. You mean hegemony? You mean patriarchy? You mean oppression? You excuse me. I'm yelling. I got so excited.
It still is anathema to a lot of rationalists.
The only trouble is in a world dominated by consumerism, people pant for transcendence.
Right.
And whoever offers it to them, even if it's a fraud, if it turns out that God and Mammon are frolicking in bed at the top, on the suite, the penthouse, and the flock is being controlled in highly manipulative ways. Nonetheless, the impulse that has drawn, the heartfelt impulse that draws people to that, isn't some attraction to ideology, really. I don't think the average evangelical Christian cares about the tripart nature of God. They want to go to a place where there's something at the center that's larger than them.
Than themselves.
Yes. Than themselves.
All right, that was Larry Harvey, the chief boohoo of the Burning Man tribe, talking about the importance, or his idea of the importance of having some kind of sense of transcendence, some community sort of gathered around maybe a Burning Man.
It's kind of appropriate today, actually, because today is the big decompression day in the city here for people who are burners.
Is it really? I had no
There's
idea.
There's an official decompression day?
Yeah, well, they have a big, I don't forget which day that they have the big street festival that's kind of like Burning Man in the city, and then they do. Yeah, it's a decompression.
Happens in stages.
What do they decompress the compression?
I don't know. The night before. The party.
I think like the people who work downtown in the business district would need a decompression.
No, they've done.
You could probably use one on the way into Burning Man too, so you can sort of get ready for it and work your way back.
So I mean, this is an interesting debate. I mean, there's rationalism, and there's a really strong push right now. Among people who are very angry about religion, angrily against religion, Dawkins protesting against people's belief in God.
He's a big thing.
Sam Harris has his thing against belief and so forth. I don't know if Larry is talking about belief. He's talking about some kind of
larger thing that's larger than yourself.
Is this something that is good for us, or that we need, or do we need to be more reasonable? Because I'm getting a little bit, I'm just having a hard time with New Age types right now.
Yeah.
I'm just,
Yeah, I think that the Burning Man thing gets lumped into that, and with good reason for, in certain ways. But at the same time, I don't know, sometimes I feel like I understand what that desire is, the connection with something larger. But I can't say I've ever really seen anything that really achieves that. I mean, I've had times where I've, good times with my friends, or I've been in a group of people where I've had a good time, but I don't know if that's really the same thing.
I'm not sure either. I mean, I think I've had sort of inner experiences, frankly, with psychedelic drugs that have made me feel like I was connected to something bigger.
Multiple personalities.
Yeah, the fact that there were or weren't other people around at that level is highly irrelevant unless they're threatening somehow.
DEA, you mean?
unless there's something mean about somebody else in the vicinity, it's more of like a personal thing. I know, in the days of the raves, in the early 90s and so forth, the one was supposed to experience this some level of like community and enlightenment. But I don't know, man. I was always the one going home at around 4 in the morning saying, yeah, well.
I think we got it a couple times at some of those full moon raves.
Did you?
And yeah, I know that I did a couple times, and then I went back a lot trying to recapture it and never could.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that this whole idea of it's just a new form of intolerance. So now we're not going to be tolerant of people with beliefs. Before, we weren't tolerant of people without beliefs. So it's just a flip side, you know, kind of thing, that it's just another form of intolerance. So I don't like it. I think that everybody, if there's one thing in the world that everyone needs to decide for themselves, where if you believe differently than somebody else, it shouldn't really matter. You should pretty much be able to go on with whatever else you're doing with that person. I guess it's that.
Yeah, so. That's a funny thing, because it kind of brings my brain back to the Republicans, where like a lot of them are Christians, so they have beliefs, but yet they would scoff at anything that implies anything that is like collectivist, you know, like that's not individualistic. And so like, what are we talking about exactly here? Because I know that like when I moved to San Francisco, I felt a certain anonymity because there were so many people in a small area, and I feel like I could walk around and like lose myself kind of. And then that's sort of what you get on a dance floor. You know, there's a bunch of people around you. Nobody's really paying attention to any one person very much. You can lose yourself and just kind of go nuts. And
right.
But is that really what we're talking about here? Is that really a religious experience? I don't know.
I mean, I think maybe the question that Larry Harvey is raising is, maybe is this a good way of organizing people? I mean, I think what he is pointing out is that the Republicans and, you know, God's Party, and they're able to sort of organize these people around religion. And you know, he refers to the left, and we might talk about libertarians or just any kind of dissident force in America. Would those people be better able to organize themselves if they were had some totemic, like, icon or...
Gee, it's too bad that, you know, according to the Constitution, we're supposed to have a separation between church and state, and pretty much that sort of negates, in my mind, any sort of opportunities of some sort of new age left liberal movement.
Yeah, well, but people can organize themselves around their beliefs without...
Well, you know, actually, Burning Man's a good example, because Burning Man is not necessarily, I would say, a cult, but it's an amalgamation of cults. I mean, I've been a couple of times, and it's like there are hundreds of little mini cults that gather there, and there's no one overarching thing. I mean, sure, you can still identify as I'm someone who went into the Nevada desert and, you know, went nuts for a week.
Who here has been to Burning Man? Just to clarify, I myself have never gone.
Jeff is the brave one.
Jeff is the one of the three of us that's actually gone.
Desert-ophobic.
Me too. Absolutely, for that reason.
That's not an unnatural
desert.
Instinct. Yeah.
okay.
It's not a human-friendly place, especially where they go, where there's like no vegetation, and it
right.
is.
I mean, a lot of people say,
it's,
you know, why don't you go?
It's important to those people to go there every year. That's what I think
is so amazing.
When
somebody takes me into a steam room, I go.
Me too.
I get claustrophobic, and I think
that
you know, in Burning Man, there'd be no way out.
I hate saunas.
There's no way
out.
Yeah,
the idea that you would go to a place like that and do anything else but get as far as you can away
from it.
I mean,
it looks really interesting and cool.
Well, there's a part of it for me. I think part of what I enjoyed was the endurance aspect of it. You know, the survivalist, because it's pretty rough, and it, you kind of prove to yourself that you can do this, and there's some enjoyment.
See, I
in that,
already but... know I can't do it.
Yeah,
well, so there's no need to try.
Yeah, no, know your limits, and you know what you like.
But I love watching people go, and the people that are always sort of stuck waiting for their ride and stuff that always happen every year. I just love that. A friend of ours ended up in the office for part of the day because she didn't have a ride. You know,
she's all dressed in her furlar.
She's like got her backpack and, you know, a cell phone without a charger, and was like ready to go. But I just, there's the process. I love watching people get ready, and I love hearing about it when they get back, and I love looking at the pictures and all that kind of thing.
Sure, yeah, it's really beautiful. Well, we've talked about Burning Man on this show before. The main thing I wanted to get into was this question of sort of religion and transcendence. And,
so could you guys tell what he was really saying?
You know, how important rationality and something that's... And I guess, I mean, the problem that I have, and, you know, I enjoy the irrational and surrealism and psychedelics. And the problem I have is sort of like you can't argue with somebody's vision when it gets beyond the rational. It's sort of like it puts an end to the debate. It's like when Daniel Pinchbeck says, you know, I'm Quetzalcoatl now. You know, it's kind of like either get with it or don't. There's not really... you know, you can't sort of have a finely nuanced discussion about whether Daniel Pinchback is really quasi-codal or not.
I would take issue with whether or not
you're just a very naughty boy.
Yeah, well, that's an extreme. I mean, that's where you've got one figure making some outlandish claim to try to, I don't know what he's trying to accomplish with that, but I mean, Larry Harvey's main point seemed to be in that clip, you know, this issue of something larger than yourself, which, again, I'm grappling with that. I'm not, you know, maybe
just because you're so big, how could anything?
I'm so huge already. What could I possibly?
Jeff.
Right, people, yeah, they surrender to me, not the other way around.
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess I was in that particular quote. I guess I was still trying to wrap my head around, you know how when you hear somebody else talking and you're trying to like wrap your head around it and get an idea of what they mean so you can decide if you sort of feel the same way or if because of X and Y you don't feel the same way. And I was having trouble. I never got my head wrapped around what he was saying, and I wasn't
sure. It might have been his stammering.
Well,
Larry's got a great stammer.
And there was some hegemony in there, and there was a lot of words that I recognized from graduate school at the media department at San Francisco State, and about the society's effect on people and the sort of the weight of the world on people and how people are trying to get away from that. And I understand all that kind of thing. But I wasn't sure if, you know, again, if there was a specific thing that he had in mind. It's almost like one of these things where words, you immediately do a disservice to it when you try to describe it with words.
Let's do some disservice, because I think maybe what he was partly trying to say was about corporatism. Like, that's one thing you can escape when you go to Burning Man for a week, is you can escape your corporate self, because not only do you have to take off work,
no money,
but you go out there and there's zero corporate sponsorship. You can't buy anything except
pretty
ice and coffee, and that's it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so in that sense, it's a huge chunk of your identity.
So what are the two things? Is it coffee and cigarettes that's allowed?
It's coffee and ice.
Coffee and ice, okay.
Yeah. So you surrender a huge chunk of yourself when you go out there. Most people have full-time jobs or even careers that they think, you know, defines them to some degree.
Sure.
You're away from that for a whole week if you're doing it seriously.
And that's always good. I mean, you can get the same thing by
going
to a Zen center for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, monastery or something. In that sense,
that's
giving up, you know, surrendering yourself to something larger, like, in other words, something other than yourself. Like, I'm just taking this huge part of myself and leaving it back there, and I'm going to go here and do something totally different.
That's true. I mean,
cool,
the self is defined by what you
your routine
do and what you own.
Well,
and
I think
all that
too,
kind of
it's
stuff.
Become this thing where leaving the computer behind for a week is like this really important gesture.
Okay, now you're hurting me.
Well, I mean, it's just another reason why I can.
But actually, I think nowadays they've got like fully, you know, a whole blanket of Wi-Fi out
they
there.
They do. So you could do it there if you have to, but a lot of people I know purposefully don't bring the computer.
Yeah, the elements make it difficult to for your
devices
to survive.
Well, plus there's that. Do you have, is it a sacrificial lamb that you're bringing your laptop to the desert and you know,
something
like that?
Wait,
toss it in the fire.
Sacrificial lambs out there?
Exactly.
Love's the only weapon.
Shit! Are you serious?